Good evening and welcome to MTN's coverage of the third and final debate between Montana's two major party candidates for governor. I'm Tim McGonigal, moderator for tonight's debate and anchor for KXLH in Helena and KRTV in Great Falls. And we're coming to you live tonight from our Great Falls studio. This evening's debate is being aired on all of the Montana Television Network stations across the state. It's also being streamed on the MTN websites and will be rebroadcast on the Northern Broadcasting Network as well as Montana Public Radio. Over the next hour, the candidates will tell you more about themselves and answer a series of questions from our MTN panelists. First tonight, let's meet the candidates. Republican Greg Gianforte is a Bozeman businessman who describes himself as a job creator. He was the co-founder of Right Now Technologies, and he and his wife Susan raised their four children in the Gallatin Valley. Democrat Steve Bullock is a native Montana and seeking his second term as governor. Before that, he served 4 years as Montana's attorney general. He and his wife Lisa have three children. Gentlemen, welcome tonight.
Thank you. Tim.
And now let's meet our panelists this evening. We're pleased to have with us Donna Kelly, anchor at KBZK in Bozeman, as well as Jay Cohn, anchor at KTVQ in Billings, and Mike Dennison, the MTN chief political reporter with us tonight. Briefly, here are tonight's ground rules. Each candidate will be given 2 minutes for their opening statement. After that, one candidate will be asked a question and will have 1 minute and 30 seconds to answer. The other candidate will then get a minute 30 seconds to respond, followed by a 30-second rebuttal for the candidate who initially received the question. Approximately midway through the debate, we will have each candidate ask each other a question. Finally, each candidate will have a 2 minute closing statement. Earlier, we had a coin toss to determine the order, and after all that, the result was Greg Gianforte will be answering our first question, which will come from the panel and will come from MTN chief political reporter Mike Dennison.
So, Mr. Gianforte,
opening statement. So, opening statement goes to Greg Gianforte. Sorry. Mr. Gianforte.
Okay. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm running to be your next governor because our kids have become our most precious export. My wife Susan and I have raised our four children in Bozeman, and like many families, we'd like to have them around the table on Sunday afternoon. But that can't happen if we don't have a vibrant private sector. So I'm running to create more high-wage jobs. Susan and I started a small software business in our home in Bozeman, and that business over 15 years grew to be one of the state's largest employers with an average wage of almost $90,000 a year. I'm running because we've seen layoffs across the state. We've seen layoffs in Columbia Falls in our timber industry, and now Colstrip is being slated to shut down. And these are a direct result of our current administration not standing up to federal overreach. I'm also running to bring integrity back to state government. The governor, while attorney general, destroyed public records. He lost, as governor, lost $1 billion off our state balance sheet and has been handing out multi-million dollar rigged contracts to friends and family, all while flying around the state at taxpayer expense to rock concerts and campaign events. We've come to expect more, but this is what we get from career politicians. I'm also running to make it easier for small business. We'll peel back regulations, we'll lower taxes, and we'll bring a culture of customer service back to state government. I love Montana. Susan and I have raised our four children here. We love the outdoors, our public lands, and I'm looking to be your next governor along with Leslie Robinson so we can create better outcomes for all Montanans. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Governor Bullock, your opening statement.
Good evening. Tonight you'll hear two different visions for Montana. I was born and raised here. My wife Lisa and I send our kids to the very same public schools that we went to as kids. We enjoy our public lands together. We hunt and we hike on our public lands. We fish the same streams that we did. My vision for Montana is to make it great for today, but also for the next generation. Our state is strong. Our fiscal house is in order and prepared for things that may be beyond our control. And it's that way because I insisted on it. we can have a strong Montana. My opponent's vision for Montana is much different. I think Montana is for all Montanans. My opponent doesn't share our values. In his Montana, millionaires and out-of-state corporations get tax giveaways. Well, we could get a sales tax. In his Montana, the public doesn't always have access to our streams, and our public lands could be jeopardized. In his Montana, our investments in public education are diverted to private schools. That's not the Montana that I want to raise my children in. And I'm betting it's not the Montana that you want to raise your kids and grandkids in as well.
Thank you, Governor Bullock. Now to our first question. It goes to Greg Gianforte, and it will be asked by Mike Dennison.
So now we're ready for the questions.
There we go.
Mr. Gianforte, you've seen the vulgar comments that GOP nominee Donald Trump made about women in the last couple of days. Given these revelations, do you still support him for president?
Yeah, and I put out a public statement here recently. These comments are completely inappropriate, outrageous. As a father of a young girl and as a husband, I take great offense to these comments. I don't think this the national election has turned out the way anyone would have expected it. This is why, in large part, we need strong leadership at the state level. I have said previously that I would vote for Donald Trump. I reluctantly continue to believe that's the right course because his opponent, unfortunately, left our soldiers on the field in Benghazi, have abandoned our coal industry and shut down, have worked to shut down our coal industry and said they're going to put coal miners out of work. And at the end of the day, this next president's going to pick our Supreme Court justices. I wish I had a different choice, but this is the choice we're left with.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Governor Bullock, your response.
Look, I have differences with my party's nominee. I disagree with her position on Second Amendment, disagree with her position on coal. But what Mr. Trump said isn't appropriate for a dog catcher, let alone a presidential candidate. It's appalling. It was more than just locker room talk. It was talk about sexually assaulting women. As someone that's in a position of public trust, as a father, as a husband, it's inexcusable what he said. Now, whoever gets elected governor or president, at the end of the day, my job is the same, to make sure that they understand Montana values, Montana interests, and Montana needs. When I was Attorney General, I stood up to President Bush when he wanted to put in the Real ID Act. As governor, I've stood up to President Obama, Waters of the United States, the Clean Power Plan, Endangered Species Act. Washington, D.C. is a long way away from Montana. I will always stand up for Montana values, but I won't excuse the comments that Mr. Trump made.
Thank you, Governor Bullock. Mr. Gianforte, if you'd like, you have 30 seconds for a rebuttal.
Yeah, and I actually agree with the governor here. These comments were outrageous. I also believe, though, that we need a state administration that will stand up to Washington. I've driven 57,000 miles so far all over this state, and it's been a joy. I've stayed in many of your homes, sat around your kitchen tables, and spoken to you about your hearts, hopes, and dreams for your families in this great state. And yet, one of the number one issues I've heard is that our state administration is not standing up to federal overreach. I will do that when I'm your next governor.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. And we now move on to our second question. And this one, too, comes from Mike Dennison.
This is to you, Governor Bullock. I'm wondering why you and Democrats are attacking Mr. Gianforte for being from out of state. He's lived here for 20-plus years. He developed a hugely successful business, raised his family here. Isn't that a positive rather than a negative?
From my perspective, this is about the values that we want running this state. And even before Mr. Gianforte came to Montana, there was a stream access site to get to the East Gallatin River. My opponent sued all of Montana, sued each and every one of us in trying to take away that public access. This is about, I think, public education is our great equalizer. My opponents invested a lot of money in trying to make sure that those dollars are actually diverted to private education. Our public lands are another one of our great equalizers. I think that belongs to each and every one of us, and our public lands will not be transferred on my watch. My opponents helped fund the groups that actually want to transfer public lands, and initially when asked, he said, transfer public lands is not attainable at this time. My opponent has actually said that businesses would be more likely to locate in a place that could discriminate. We've seen the economic impact of that. So this is about the values that my opponent, Mr. Gianforte, would bring into this office, no matter where he came from.
Thank you, Governor Bullock.
Well, Mr. Gianforte. It's unfortunate. This is what we can come to expect from a career politician. Let me share the facts with you. I first came to Montana 40 years ago on a junior high school trip, and my wife and I started a little business that created prosperity for a lot of people. And this whole fishing access thing, you know, I'm here in large part because of our public lands, and I want to speak directly to the sportsmen out there tonight. You know, I've raised my kids in the public lands here. We have never blocked access to the stream, and we never sought to block access. We did have a dispute with FWP over a survey error that they made. And this is part of why we need new leadership in Helena, because it took 14 months for them to come out to the site. When they did and walked the ground, they said, you're right, we're wrong, we'll update our records. But this is about a vision going forward. Whatever the governor says, he can't change the fact that today we're 49th in the country in wages and our kids are leaving. That's my heart's desire. I've shown that I can create high-wage jobs here in Montana. We've gotten the economy started in Bozeman, and we can bring prosperity to the rest of the state by making it easier for small businesses. And starting, I believe that we can responsibly develop our natural resources and create jobs across Montana. And if you'll honor me with your vote, I'll go to work and help us achieve that potential.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Steve Bullock, you have 30 seconds.
For a guy who says he's not a politician, he's pretty slippery with his facts. Even the Billings Gazette called out his 49th in the country in waging just this past week. Let's actually look at the facts. He filed suit against the entire state, and anybody could go down to the district court right in Bozeman and see what he said. He said that this public access site that was created before he even moved to Montana from New Jersey was never properly created. He said that there were other ways to get to that access, to access the river, and he asked for that access site to be extinguished. Now, those are the facts.
Thank you, Governor Bullock. Our next question comes from Jay Cohn, and it goes to Greg Gianforte.
Mr. Gianforte, just before the debate, I watched one of your campaign ads that claims Governor Bullock's policies regarding Syrian refugees. You describe them as reckless policies that threaten Montana communities. And just within the past day or so, a group of clergy from across Montana wrote you a letter denouncing that ad, saying it was discomforting, complaining that you're hawking fear to win votes and score political points. So why this campaign of fear? And do you have a response tonight to their letter?
Yeah, so thank you for the question. And again, as I've traveled the state and visited with folks, Syrian refugees and the safety of our communities comes up in every single conversation. The reality is, even Obama's own staff, the CIA, the FBI, Homeland Security, has said it's impossible to vet these. Now, my heart goes out to the refugees. I think we have a moral obligation as a country to help, but we should do it in region, not in our communities. So 31 other states have stood up and called for a withdrawal from this reckless Syrian refugee program that would put unvetted refugees into our communities. John Brennan at the CIA, Obama's appointee, said that the ISIS is using these refugee programs to infiltrate our country. And just as recently as a couple of weeks ago, we saw a knifing in Minnesota, bombs in New York and New Jersey, and elsewhere around the country. We must realize we are at war with radical Islamic terrorism, and I will put the safety of Montana first, and when elected, we'll withdraw from Obama's reckless policy.
Governor Bullock?
You know, when the issue of refugees first came up, I said that terrorism shouldn't define the values we hold as Montanans or as United States citizens. But I'll also say that politicians shouldn't use the real fears and concerns of people just to try to get votes. Greg Gianforte is not leveling with you. Let's actually look at the facts. Syrian refugees are in 40 states across our country. You know how many Syrian refugees are in Montana? Zero. Now, if we did what Mr. Gianforte had said and asked for, is just withdraw any state involvement in relocation. We've seen how that works. His old state, New Jersey, Governor Christie said, we're withdrawing all state involvement. Guess what? Syrian refugees are still coming to New Jersey. Chris Christie has no idea where they are. That's not responsible leadership. And in fact, that's actually trying to, just for political points, making Montana less safe. The only truthful thing in Greg Gianforte's ads about Syria is a line that said, paid for by Greg Gianforte. He spent a lot, $3 million already trying to buy this election, and he shouldn't be doing that.
Mr. Gianforte, do you have a rebuttal?
Yeah, so I stand by my position. I will stand up for Montana's safety. We will, when elected, we will withdraw from the program. I want to go to something that was said in our last debate in my rebuttal time. The governor, on three occasions, stated repeatedly, and he's shown it on TV as well, that we are the most fiscally prudent state in the country. Unfortunately, that was before he got elected. Now we're number 26 in the country. And Governor, that's not me talking. That's J.P. Morgan.
All right. Moving on to our next question. It comes from Donna Kelly from KBZK. And Donna, it goes to Steve Bullock.
Okay. Governor Bullock, I'm going to wade back into this stream access a little bit more. Isn't private property and public access? Can you tell me that you would want, if you had Mrs. Bullock and your three kids with you on your patio in the backyard, to have a bunch of people traipse through just because they've always gone to go fishing or hunting that way?
Private property is private property. And public access is public access. And that public access belongs to each and every Montanan. I mean, the facts are that the easement that actually provides that access to our rivers, and I fought real hard as Attorney General and Governor to protect our stream access laws, that easement was created in 1993. My opponent moved to Montana in 1995. So Montanans had been enjoying access to the East Gallatin River before Mr. Gianforte even moved to Montana. And it's owned by each and every one of us.
But wasn't that a mistake then, if that was private property that they found? That it was private property.
My opponent actually filed suit and said that easement was never properly created. And he also said that there's other ways to access the East Gallatin River. And he also said then that that easement that all of us own, that access site, should be extinguished. That's exactly what it says in the lawsuit. I can show you a copy
and,
if it
and made
help,
another Donna. Way to get in, though, didn't he? Didn't he make another way to get in and if he took away that public access?
He filed the suit to eliminate that. And that's what all of us own, Donna, each and every one of us. And it was long before he even came here. And at the end of the day, from that perspective, even at the time that emails from Fish, Wildlife, and Parks said, you know what, there's a new landowner. He's blocking access to the East Gallatin River.
Mr. Gianforte, what happened? Who dropped the ball on that? When you went to buy the property, didn't you know that that was public access? That people had been using that for years and years and years? And so some people might say, couldn't you just have donated that chunk of land and kept it public access?
And Donna, you made a point at the beginning about people walking through someone's backyard. We've always welcomed people on our property. In fact, they do come through our backyard. We have never blocked access to anyone. This was a survey error. When we first purchased the property, in fact, this easement didn't even show up on the title. I think this is really a career politician attempting to manipulate the information for political gain. And I'll say that if I shift, my opponent doesn't have a very good record on public land.
But when you found out that that was public access, wasn't there something that you could have done to keep that open for people who had used it for a lot of years? You fish and hunt, and wouldn't you have been irked if you'd been using that for umpteen years and then found out all of a sudden,
Donna,
that it was closed off?
Donna, you're in Bozeman. I'd love to have you come out and look at it. Well, it took us 14 months to get FWP to come out, and when they did, they said, you're right, we're wrong, and they updated their records.
But what did you do then to keep the access open? Did you give some
It's always
some
been
other
open.
Land?
The easement's still in the same place it was always in. They thought it was somewhere else. If you come to our property today, there's 3 to 5 cars parked at the bridge. We've never blocked access. This is much ado about nothing. My opponent is misrepresenting the facts, and as a lawyer, he should know better. And shame on him, because I am a strong supporter. I fully support our stream access laws, and we've never blocked access on our property.
Mr. Bullock, you have 30 seconds.
Donna, here's the lawsuit. The previous owners could not lawfully grant an easement across the parcel since they were not the sole owners. The public has access to fish along the East Gallatin River, both to the west, to the east, making the easement across the parcel unnecessary. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks refuses upon demand to voluntarily extinguish the easement. The plaintiff, he asked to extinguish all alleged easements, interest claimed by Fish, Wildlife, and Park or any other parties across the property. So it's not a career politician. You can read it right there.
Governor, we're out of time. Mr. Gianforte, we'll give you a chance to respond here.
Yeah, I would like to. I should point out very clearly that the governor's never been there. These assertions that were made, these paperwork, it took us 14 months to get FWP's attention. We never served paperwork. We filed a quick claim deed to get their attention. Only then did they even respond. I wish state government was more responsive to people than what we experienced with FWP, and I've spoken with many other people that have similar issues. I stand by my statement. Access was never blocked, and I fully support our stream access laws.
Thank you. I stand by the lawsuit that he filed against every single Montanan asking to get rid of that easement that was created even before he came to Montana.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. We're going to go on to the next question here. It's going to come from Mike Dennison, and it goes to Greg Gianforte.
Tim, I just had a question. Were we allowed to bring notes out with us? Because I thought the ground rules were no paperwork brought into the studio.
No paperwork.
I thought there's no notes brought into the studio.
I just want to note that the governor violated the rules of the debate.
Thank you.
Just want to note that Mr. Gianforte sued all of Montana.
All right.
Well, we have a career politician. What they do well is lying.
This is a very passionate debate, I know.
Well,
so
stream
thank you.
Access is important. And, you know, I am a sportsman. I've raised my children here in Montana on public land. I've taken moose and elk and bear and goat, and I've been able to guide my oldest son to a bighorn sheep. We've spent every summer in the wilderness in the backcountry. I'm in Montana, and I want sportsmen out there to hear me clearly. I fully defend stream access laws, and we'll keep public land public. This governor has voted to sell public land. He flies around in an airplane that cost $15,000 when he could have kept Hell Creek open, which is where the money should go.
Mr. Gianforte,
well,
we need to move on.
Wait a minute.
Governor Bullock.
Stream access is really important. And my opponents also funded those groups that have fought stream access tooth and nail. Even as a young lawyer in the Attorney General's office, when an out-of-state group sued to get rid of our stream access laws, I represented the state of Montana and said those belong to each and every one of us. And my opponent doesn't get it.
Okay, Governor, thank you, and we need to move on to our next question. Mike Dennison, you're up for Greg Gianforte.
Yeah, Mr. Gianforte, let's shift gears a little bit here. And I'm wondering, do you support tougher restrictions on abortion in Montana? If so, what? And also, do you support rejecting the federal family planning money for Planned Parenthood, as many opponents of abortion do?
Yeah, so there's a multifaceted question there. Let me start with, we need to make sure that we have medical care for women in the state. Federal law prohibits funds going to fund abortion. I think that's the law of the land. I am pro-life. I'm pleased to have the endorsement of the Susan B. Anthony list. I think we should have a culture of life. And my wife and I are the proud parents of a young daughter, and my wife as well needs care. And in our own, for our own part, you know, we have helped fund a number of women's medical clinics. I think the key thing is, how do we continue to provide care for women and have a culture of life here in Montana?
So what were the answers to the questions about tougher restrictions and banning the federal planning money for Planned Parenthood?
I have not said anything about Planned Parenthood, and I don't have any particular plans. I mean, I'm running because we need more high-wage jobs here in the state, and that's really my focus.
Governor Bullock, do you have a response?
40 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court recognized a due process right for women to make health care decisions by themselves. That right is enshrined in our state constitution as well. I think difficult decisions such as this should be made by the woman in consultation with her family, with her medical provider, and with her faith. It shouldn't be made by legislators, shouldn't be made by governors, certainly shouldn't be made by Mr. Gianforte. We've actually brought Democrats and Republicans together in many respects. Actually, for the first time ever, Title X funding, which provides health care, things like mammograms, cancer screenings, won't be a political football each and every year. I'm pleased in many ways that we can actually be working to promote women's health, not constantly attacking it, and not second-guessing it. And I think that's a fundamental difference between my opponent and I. He'll often say I have too many vetoes. I've stood up for women to get to make their health care decisions, not legislators.
Thank you, Governor Bullock. Greg Gianforte, do you have a response?
Well, just I would take the point of the governor making a point about how he's worked so well with both sides of the aisle. This current administration, unfortunately, again, the facts don't line up with the reality, because he has vetoed more bills than any governor in the history of the state. And in fact, has not even been present visibly during our legislative sessions. I commit to all the legislators and all Montanans out there, when we're in session, I'll be there with my sleeves rolled up doing the business of the people.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Next question is from Jay Cohn. It goes to Governor Steve Bullock.
Governor Bullock, this question concerns the future of Colstrip, the community, and the power plants there. Mr. Gianforte has accused you of selling out to the environmental groups, MEIC and the Sierra Club. The same groups, by the way, that recently won a lawsuit against the state to force the cleanup of the toxic water pollution that's been going on in Colstrip for years. But in hindsight, how do you respond to his criticism, and should you have done more to fight for the future of those plants?
First, I look forward also to talking about some of those vetoes, because actually stop measures that would have transferred our public lands out of public hands. Now, when it comes to Colstrip, I'll continue to fight for the community and the workers. More coal was mined in the first 3 years of my administration than the previous 30 years combined. When the Clean Power Plan came out, my opponent actually knows, too, because he got called on it by the Billings Gazette. I not only said that that was unfair, but that litigation should go forward. But I don't want to leave it just to Washington, D.C., so I did what needs to be done. I brought people together, from power plant owners, coal miners, others, to say, let's make sure we keep Montana in charge of this. And let's come up with a Montana-made solution. Clean Power Plan was put on hold. I didn't stop. What I did is brought folks together again, and a great group of folks, to say, let's put together an energy future. Coal will be certainly a part of it, an important part of it,
But we also have incredible opportunities in wind, in solar, in energy conservation. So I'd encourage you to look at the Energy Blueprint. It's online, because what I'm doing is actually putting a plan together for our future. That's the difference between my opponent and I. I have a plan to address it. My opponent has nothing.
Mr. Gianforte, your response?
Right. Well, I want people at home to hear me clearly. I am a proponent for responsible natural resource development, and I believe that we can develop our natural resources, coal, hard rock mines, and our timber, and preserve the environment both. I've spent time touring the various facilities around the state, and I've spent a lot of time in Colstrip meeting with the folks there, staying in their homes, and this is a community that is just fighting for their livelihoods. You know, if we lose Colstrip, we'll lose 7,100 jobs. We're going to lose $150 million in revenue at the state level. And everyone's electric bill goes up by 16%. My opponent's campaign was funded by the group that sued to shut down Colstrip. He's endorsed Hillary Clinton, who has said she's going to put coal miners out of work. And when Tim Fox stood up to sue against the Clean Power Plan, the governor was a no-show, not joining with other states in that. Unfortunately, under his administration, we've seen environmental extremists appointed to various boards across the state, and particularly at DEQ, where some organizations have waited almost two decades to get a permit that would have created jobs here in the state. And he himself voted against the Powder River Basin lease that would have created jobs in that sector as well.
Governor Bullock, you have 30 seconds.
I don't think it's responsible to try to prey on people's fears and concerns. The Billings Gazette actually called out my opponent because I did say litigation should go forward. And Mr. Gianforte, you ought to know actually where the AG gets information for suits. I've also gotten, I have 7,500 Montanans that have donated to my campaign. He also knows that I've received donations as well from coal company CEOs as well. But I do have a plan to take our state forward, and it does include coal, and it includes incredible opportunities for the state of Montana.
Thank you, Governor Bullock. We're going to go now to the part of the debate where the candidates get to ask questions of each other. And we're going to start out with Governor Bullock. You have a question to ask to Greg Gianforte, and Mr. Gianforte, you'll have 90 seconds to respond.
Mr. Gianforte, before you decided to run for office, you said that a sales tax is the best solution for Montana and an ideal solution. And before you decided to run for office, you said that our public education system is a monopoly. Groups that you're part of said it's a failed experiment and even immoral. Before you decided to run for office, you said businesses would be more likely to locate in a community that could discriminate against the LGBT community. Before you decided to run for office, you filed suit on stream access. Before you decided to run for office, you also made money off of outsourcing. And you outsource jobs to Armenia and India, jobs that you could have put in Montana. So I think Montanans deserve to know, will you be the Greg Gianforte of the last 10 years or of the last 10 months since you decided to run for office?
Tim, would you mind paraphrasing the question for me?
I'd be more than happy to.
Well, I think he's had his time. I'm not sure what I know what the question is, but I'll take my time to respond. So Susan and I raised our four kids here. We love this state. You know, and it's frustrating that a career politician would manipulate the truth so desperately to hold on to his job. I've been very clear. I put out my tax plan back in April. It clearly says the zero in the 406 plan stands for zero sales tax. We need strong schools. I've spent more time on education, both K through 12 and at the secondary level, than any other area outside of my work. This is why we started Code Montana, to get computer science into all the high schools. because I believe computers are here to stay. It's also the reason why Susan and I started the Gianforte Manufacturing Scholarship, which now has had over 300 veterans and lower-income Montanans get skills in welding and machining, because I think we need more emphasis on trades education. And, you know, it's a typical tactic of the governor to villainize success. And it's an insult, honestly, Governor. Shame on you for tearing down the work that the good employees at Right Now Technologies did in creating jobs right here in the state. And I know the Billings Gazette is the best reference you have, but if you go back to that Forbes article, they were talking about jobs being outsourced to Montana. I think that's a good idea.
Governor Bullock, you have 30 seconds to respond.
For a non-politician, again, pretty darn slippery. Before he decided to run for office, he said a sales tax is the best solution and an ideal solution. He said our public education system is a monopoly. And Mr. Gianforte, we can read the Forbes article. It said takes outsourcing to a new level. You said one of the biggest drivers of our business is outsourcing. And you put jobs in Armenia and India that sure could have been in Montana.
Thank you, Governor Bullock. Mr. Gianforte, it's now your chance to ask Governor Bullock a question.
Sure. Thank you. So, Governor Bullock, about a year ago, your budget director, Dan Villa, gave a $23 million no-bid contract to a firm that his wife worked at. And there are 125 accounting errors in the state budget, including the loss of $1 billion off the state balance sheet. And then most recently, Meg O'Leary, your head of Department of Commerce, her team assigned the tourism marketing contract to a Wisconsin firm that had no experience in tourism marketing, letting a Bozeman firm go. And the interesting fact is that the person who did the contract award had a cousin at that firm. So my question for you, it appears that there is an integrity problem in your administration. I called on you the last debate to ask for Meg O'Leary's resignation. And I am curious, could you please explain to the voters why you have not held anybody accountable for these egregious acts?
You know, the local paper here, the Great Falls Tribune, said that my opponent has a tendency to talk without the facts backing him up. Like, you remember when he said Facebook wouldn't come to Montana because of our tax structure? Facebook said that's not true, but we wouldn't come to a state that actually discriminated against folks. You remember that little thing that where he lied? And I don't use that word lightly. He lied about filing suit against all Montanans. Or when he said he earned an endorsement and the group actually said no and came back. Or when he said Sanders County, the Sanders County commissioners actually had to write an op-ed and say, don't put words in our mouth. Chalk it up for another one. He ought to know that Montana law does not have preferences to hire Montanans. I've tried two legislative sessions with my Hire Montanans First bill, and I'll try again this session. I'll also include folks that are going to be marketing Montana. And until then, I'll certainly hold this company accountable. You say there's some nepotism. I looked into it, and, you know, it's the tourism director's father's late brother's wife from another marriage's daughter. I can't even follow that family tree, and they disclosed it. Again, you know, he doesn't have facts to back him up, and the only thing that's true in his ads is paid for by Greg Gianforte.
Mr. Gianforte, you have a rebuttal time, 30 seconds.
Well, I'm proud of the endorsements that Leslie Robinson and I have achieved. We now are endorsed by the Montana Chamber of Commerce, the Montana Bankers, the Montana Realtors, the Montana Building Industry Association, NFIB, the NRA, Montana Shooting Sports Association, Gun Owners of America, and the Montana Farm Bureau. My opponent doesn't have those endorsements. We do. And I just think that nepotism has no place in government, yet it's been prevalent in this current administration.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Well, now we get back to our panelists' questions, and we go back to Donna Kelly with KBZK. And Donna, you have a question for Greg Gianforte.
Okay, thanks. Let's go to riots and the police shootings that we've seen across the country. Some people might say, that's a big city problem. We live in Montana, you know, things will be fine. But it could only take one shooting for things to get out of control. My colleague that I've known for 36 or 37 years we were talking about tonight, they had an incident in Billings with a police shooting. There were protests, but they stayed peaceful in Missoula over treatment for some Native American and some African American folks who showed up on campus, and also for the Standing Rock pipeline protests. What would you do, Mr. Gianforte, to keep order, and do you think that some people are unfairly targeted by police?
Yeah, so I visited with sheriffs all across the state. I was just up at their state convention in Plentywood recently as I've traveled the state and visited with folks. We've had a division in this country that we cannot allow here in Montana. Our police officers put their lives in harm's way every day to protect the peace of our community. And I stand with them in that effort. As I talk to these police officers and sheriffs, one of the biggest issues we have in the state is the overcrowding in our jails. And they repeat over and over again, we need to get to the root problem. In many cases, this is a drug and alcohol problem. I've had the great pleasure now of meeting with 20 other sitting governors around the US, and there are some models of things other states have done to start to get nonviolent criminals into drug and alcohol courts that will reduce the overcrowding in our jails so we can get people productive back in society. But just to be very, very clear, thank you to the police officers and sheriffs out there, the firemen, everyone who puts their life in harm's way to protect our communities. Thank you for your service to this great state.
Governor Bullock, do you think the police are taking a bad rap while they're trying to keep order when something like this happens, to keep from complete chaos? And what would you do to keep control if something like that happened in Montana? At what point would you call out the National Guard, or what would you do?
You know, I served as the state's chief law enforcement officer when the public entrusted me with being attorney general. And what you say is an abstract. One of the hardest days that I ever had was when Trooper David DeLate, on a routine traffic stop, was shot and killed. I had to go to the Law Enforcement Academy, which is under the Attorney General's office as well. And you see young men and women and their families, because law enforcement is a family affair. I saw them, and what do you say to them as Attorney General and the Chief Law Enforcement Officer? You say thank you for risking your life each and every day. I think some of the problems that we've seen around the country, I hope and pray we never see them here. I think our peace officers are well trained. I've worked with them throughout our career, throughout my career. I think that they are each and every day risking their lives for us. And I do agree with my opponent that we do actually owe them gratitude.
Thank you, Governor Bullock. Mr. Gianforte, you have 30 seconds to rebut.
Yeah, thank you. And I think I've said my piece on that, but I will take my time just to quickly introduce my running mate, Leslie Robinson. Leslie, I'm thrilled she's on the ticket with me. Leslie is a fourth generation Montanan from Malta. She was one of only three women ever selected to the Montana Stock Growers Board since the 1880s. She ranches with her husband, Jim, near Zortman, and she's been a county commissioner for coming on 12 years. What's significant, she represents rural Montana, ag, and local government, all of which voices have not been heard in Helen in a while.
All right, thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Mike Dennison, you have the next question to Steve Bullock.
Governor, state revenue is lagging behind projections. Our projected budget surplus is shrinking, yet you haven't presented any real plan or outline of how you'd respond as governor. Shouldn't you be telling us what your next proposed budget should be in view of this shrinking revenue?
Well, I think first we need to look at where we are, and our budget is strong. And in part because of a number of things. I insist that we don't spend more than we bring in, and we leave money in the bank. We have fewer employees working now for state government than even when I took office. Not since the Constitutional Convention 40 years ago, we had a governor that actually hasn't had to call the legislature back into town to deal with budgetary problems. Rating agencies recognize we have conservative fiscal management. And Mike, look at our neighbors. Billings actually had to cut, or North Dakota actually had to cut $1 billion out of their budget. Wyoming had to call their session back in, do $248 million of cuts, something the Governor Meade said was painful. In Montana, we're still in the black, and we'll continue to be in the black under the budget that I'll present November 17th. I'll tell you what would take us out of there, though. My opponent has a reckless tax scheme. He would put a $206 million a year hole into our budget, say goodbye to rainy day funds, say goodbye to infrastructure investments, say goodbye to educational investments. That's where we could end up with real trouble.
So what is in your budget plan?
As far as which, Mike?
Well, coming up next
well,
year, if
right
you're,
now
if you're
we
the
actually still have money in the bank, and putting together a budget, we won't spend more than we bring in. There will be an ending fund balance, and it will be reflective of priorities. There will be investments for infrastructure. There will also be the opportunity for early childhood education. I think we're missing there. And as always, I'll make a prepared budget and bring it to the legislature with some real hard places. Like, we're not going to, you know, we will leave money in the bank for these rainy days, which we're experiencing. And then I'll work with the legislature to get a budget in.
Greg Gianforte, you have a minute to 30 to respond.
Yeah, thank you. So we certainly have a difference of opinion here. Honestly, let me talk to you straight. This governor inherited a $455 million surplus just a year ago when the legislature finished up. The legislative fiscal division report shows it's down to $109 million, which starts to threaten our bond rating as a state. One of the core issues is that state spending under this current governor has gone up over $800 million. I don't know of any of the rest of our budgets that have gone up that much. I did roll out a tax plan back in April. It's called the 406 tax plan. The governor hasn't presented a plan. His numbers are wrong on the impact. In fact, the 406, the 4 stands for eliminate the business equipment tax. It's less than 2% of state revenues at this point. But it is a wet blanket on investment in the state, chasing job-creating dollars away. Zero, I said this in April, zero sales tax and zero growth in state spending after some inflationary increases. And I agree we need to get infrastructure done. Well, that's a longer discussion. And then 6 stands for reducing our state income tax from 6.9 to 6. And he'll say that that's tax breaks for the wealthy. Well, in his book, anybody that makes $17,000 a year is wealthy, because that's who will get the tax breaks. And by shifting to federal deductibility and a larger standard deduction, low-income people will get a break as well.
Thank you, Mr. Governor Bullock. 30 seconds.
It'd blow a $206 million hole in our budget. Under his tax plan, he'd get $54,000 tax cut. Teacher or a firefighter would get less than $100. I think the 4 stands for 4 millionaires like him. The 0 stands for the rest of us would get practically nothing. And the 6 is we ought to deep six this plan. Montana has been recognized as the fairest tax system in the nation, 6 best for business. We need to continue along that track.
All right, we have about 10 minutes left in our debate, so we're going to move on to our next question. This one goes from Jay Cohn to Greg Gianforte.
Mr. Gianforte, as you mentioned tonight, your campaign has been all about job creation. The recent editorial in Billings called that pitch a curveball, pointing out your business model is really based on eliminating jobs through technology. According to the article, your success is tied directly to job elimination. So the question is, what is it? Are you a job creator or a job negator?
Well, I'm proud of our record. Susan and I started Right Now Technologies in our home. We doubled revenue and the number of employees every 90 days for years. We ultimately became the largest commercial employer in Bozeman. And I'm glad you brought up that Forbes article, because I would encourage people to read it. It did say that we took outsourcing to a new level. And what they were referring to, that article doesn't mention foreign jobs at all. What they're referring to is that through our technologies, major corporations all over the world, American Express, Sony, Motorola, and others, outsource their customer service technology to a little company in Bozeman, Montana, and we created jobs here. I'm proud of that record, and for people to insinuate that somehow that wasn't a good thing for Montana, well, I think they owe our employees an apology. We built that business, and we can do more. There's now 300 high-tech firms in the state of Montana. It's 15% of our state economy. In fact, just last week, we announced another firm moving another 70 jobs into Bozeman. But it's not just for Bozeman. Travis Cottom, a young man that worked for me for over a decade, went back to Dillon, Montana in Beaverhead County. You may have seen him in one of our ads. And his office is now in the classroom where here he, his dad, his uncles, and his granddad all went to kindergarten. They're hiring young people out of Western and creating jobs here in Montana.
Governor Bullock, you have a minute 30 to respond.
The Forbes article said it took outsourcing to a new level. Even Greg Gianforte, in an investor call, said one of the biggest drivers of our business is outsourcing. His former chief financial officer said that the model really was to eliminate employees and you could outsource overseas using a new technology service platform. He can't deny that jobs that he certainly could have put in Montana, that he outsourced engineering jobs to Armenia, service jobs to India. April of 2001, laid off employees at the same time that he was getting special visas for foreign workers to come here. I don't take issue with the business that you built, but if what you're doing is saying I should be governor because I took outsourcing to a new level, I think Montanans can take issue with that. And when I said that actually there are fewer employees working today than when I took office, it's not because we're like outsourcing snowplow drivers or firefighters to Armenia and India. It's because we've been responsible with our budget.
Mr. Gianforte, you have 30 seconds to respond.
Well, we've been down this road before. Back in 2012, the Democrats accused us of outsourcing jobs, and we brought that to their attention, and ultimately, they sent me an apology letter that clearly said these charges are not correct. Once again, we have a career politician who will say or do anything and is willing to villainize success for his own political gain. I think Montanans are smarter than that, and shame on you, Governor, for maligning what we did to create jobs here in Montana.
Jay, you have
a quick follow-up, Mr. Gianforte. For years, we've heard the Republican Party tell us it's not government's job to create jobs. That's the job of the private sector. So are you out of step with your party? And I just watched a TV ad last night that said it's the Secretary of State that's going to create all the jobs. So whose job is it anyway?
Well, you're right, Jay. I mean, the job of government is to make it easier for small businesses to create jobs. We need a climate. Government doesn't create sustainable jobs, but we do need a climate that allows business people. And as I've traveled the state and met with small business people, they say the same thing over and over again. They're dying a death of 1,000 cuts. That's why in February, I did a regulation roundup, and I went to 60 communities all over Montana, and I put up the website, regulationroundup.com, and I've committed that when I'm governor, I'll round up the excessive regulations, I'll work with the legislature if it requires statute changes, and if it requires policy changes, I can do that through our agencies. We'll take those excessive regulations and put them out to pasture. Secondly, we're going to reduce the tax burden. We will eliminate the business equipment tax. It hits farmers hard, it hits manufacturers hard, it hits high tech hard. And in fact, Governor, we did talk to Facebook. It's just that Barbara Boxer's former communications director decided to make it a political play out of it, which, you know, that's just par for the course. And then finally, we need to bring a culture of customer service back to state government. It's very difficult to get permits. It's an endless process with DEQ. And this is part of what's strangling our natural resources industries.
Governor Bullock, a minute 30 to respond.
There are more Montanans working than ever before in our state's history. If you go on the Choose Montana website, see 8,000 job openings. Household income grew faster in Montana than in any other state last year. He raises the business equipment tax. The business equipment tax, actually working with Democrats and Republicans, we actually eliminated it for 2/3 of the companies that paid for it. We cut it for every single business. Now that tax break would go down to state corporations. 9 of the 10 top taxpayers, almost 50% of the overall business equipment tax, actually goes to out-of-state corporations. And that's money that pays for local schools, local fire departments. He hasn't demonstrated how he would fill that hole. What we know, and we've seen it all around the country, Kansas provided tax cuts for millionaires, out-of-state corporations. They literally had to shut their school system down early. Arizona did the same. 47% decrease in higher education expand our state dollars. We're actually one of only four states that increased our investment in higher education. We've been recognized as the fairest tax system in the country. Tax Foundation recently just came out again, said the sixth best tax climate. What I've done is brought businesses together through the Main Street Montana Project, recognized our opportunities and our obstacles, and I'll continue to work with folks in the future bringing people together to make sure that we have that business climate that is good for Montana, and also that we're putting together the talent and trained workforce that our employers need.
Mr. Gianforte, 30 seconds.
Yeah. So the governor asked a very good question. How do you pay for eliminating the business equipment tax? Well, it's a little over $80 million a year, and it just strangles small business in investments. This current administration has increased spending over $800 million in the last two sessions. The way you pay for it is you stop the growth of government. And that's why the zero in 406 stands for zero growth in state spending. Montana, under this governor, has gone from number one, most fiscally prudent, to 21st, according to J.P. Morgan. That's the legacy of this governor.
All right, gentlemen.
Can I address this?
We need to get to our closing statements because we're just about out of time. So, Mr. Governor Bullock, you're up with a two-minute closing statement.
Tonight, you did hear two different visions for Montana. Incomes are growing faster than any other state in the nation. The Census Bureau. More Montanans are working than ever before in our state's history. Montana's been the number one state for business startups, entrepreneurial activity 4 years in a row. We have the best fishing in the country, and we have the best stream access laws. Who's Montana for? Montana's for all of us. Greg Gianforte's Montana is for a small group of people. We've seen it in the lawsuit that he filed against all of us to end our access rights. Montanans actually promote and preserve public access. We don't eliminate it. We've seen it in his business record, outsourcing jobs that could have been here in Montana to Armenia and India. We've seen it in his risky tax schemes, from tax cuts to millionaires, or sales tax, which he says is the best or ideal solution. I'd say it's a catastrophic solution. We've seen it in his efforts to privatize public education, calling our schools a monopoly. The group that he's part of calls it a failed experiment. He's written more than $3 million of checks to try to buy this election. Montana's not for sale. Not our public lands, not our resources, not our education system, and not our state capital. I've been pleased to get to work with you over the last almost 4 years now, and thank you for the trust. Montana was a great place for me growing up. It's even better now. I want to make it better for that next generation. I hope I can count on your support on Election Day.
Mr. Gianforte?
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for listening tonight. You do have a clear choice in this election. I'm running for one reason. That's to create better opportunities for our kids so they don't remain our most precious export. We export over 1,000 of our young people every single year, 4,000 just under this current administration. We need more high-wage jobs. I am a job creator, not a career politician. I think our forefathers never envisioned that we would have career politicians in this country, except here we are. And honestly, we can't always trust what they say. You have my commitment that I'll work every day on your behalf to create better outcomes. We've seen layoffs across the state. The governor talks about a rosy economic picture. But to the families in Columbia Falls, to those in Whitehall, and those questioning their future in Colstrip, I ask you to consider your circumstance and whether it's better than it was 4 years ago. We need to bring integrity back to state government. We've talked about it here tonight. We've seen public records destroyed. We've seen $1 billion lost. We've seen rigged contracts given to family and friends and abuse of the state airplane. But this is what we've come to expect from career politicians, but it doesn't have to be that way. We can make it easier for small business to prosper. I love Montana. My wife and I have raised our four children here. This is your decision, not mine, but I'm putting myself forward. I have clearly said I will not take any special interest money in this campaign, just those of individuals. And I have put my own resources in it because I love this state. And I've also said when I serve you as your next governor, I will donate my salary to scholarships for veterans and lower income Montanans to create better skills, because Leslie and I want to create better outcomes for all Montanans.
All right, well, thank you so much, gentlemen, for being with us tonight. Thank you for bearing with us for the late start due to football and bearing with me for my false start on the beginning of this debate, but we certainly appreciate your time. Thank you to our panelists, Jay Cohn, Mike Dennison, Donna Kelly, and thank you for watching tonight. Make sure to be voting on November 8th, and we appreciate you watching tonight's coverage of this third debate right here on the Montana Television Network.